This is the websites.ca podcast, where we help Canadian small businesses build and maintain an effective website and online presence.
Good day, everybody. It's Sean Corbett from websites.ca marketing coming back at you with a very exciting returning guest. E.G. Oren is here to talk to us today about email sequences. So I want to get right into it and mostly give her the floor. This is, folks who are regular listeners of the podcast should go back and listen to some of our stuff on email before, especially our episode with Ben Settle, because you're going to get more of a ground level view. Today is a little bit of an intermediate type of thing. So we're going to be talking a little bit higher level. This isn't just, starting an email list or encouraging you to start an email list. This isn't just about sending messages themselves, but about thinking and planning a bit strategically and doing it in a preset order to have a certain psychological effect on your customers. So E.G., thanks for being back here today.
Thanks. It's great to be back. And hopefully the thunder and lightning doesn't impact the audio quality too much. Yeah.
No, that's right. We'll do the best we can to edit around it. So, why don't we start really high level? Tell us, what is an email sequence exactly? And maybe give us some of the most common use cases.
So an email sequence is literally just a string of emails that are tied together. Most commonly, you're going to see that in terms of a welcome sequence. So somebody signs up to join a list, get an ebook, or take part in a workshop or a webinar, or just get access to something. They're offered something in exchange. Here's right. So you're on the list. And then it becomes a series of thank yous, welcomes, but it's not just one email. It is a series of emails. So you're essentially spreading out the content and the information over smaller emails instead of one big encyclopedia of this is who we are kind of thing, to be able to digest it better. Sometimes you might see it, and it's unfortunately very rare, but there's also what are known as consumption sequences. So if you buy something, then you get the email saying, thank you, and here's how you use this widget. And, if you have a question or if you get stuck on, it should do this, but it's not. So it's basically helping to walk them through so that you're reinforcing their purchase, so then they're more comfortable and you're minimizing the returns and you're building the advocacy with the customer so that they will come back and want to repeat a purchase or to buy something else because it was a great user experience. Amazon is notorious with tapping you on the shoulder and going, I saw you checking this out. Do you have any questions? Or, maybe you want something similar, or you left this in your shopping cart online. Yeah. If it's more of an e-commerce thing, right? And those aren't necessarily sequences by way of multiple emails. I mean, they could be, but it's basically the whole point and purpose behind that is to be able to automate things so that you're not standing by staring at your computer screen waiting for something to happen and then having to react as it happens. You're setting up a system on the back end. So then regardless of what time of day and what day of the week and where that customer is at in their journey, they're able to get a response back that is short, succinct, and addresses where they're at, essentially.
So kind of identifying these milestones with the customer journey and then automating around them. So the three that you just gave, obviously to kind of summarize it for the listeners, is that someone becomes a list member for the first time. Someone is almost about to make a purchase. That was that cart abandonment sequence that she mentioned. And then finally, somebody becomes a customer for the first time. And like you said, this could be as short as one email to address the milestone, or it could be multiple messages to guide somebody kind of to the next stage through that milestone. Is that right?
Right. And it could also be, you have something that you want to sell. There's a promotion, right? There's a, Black Friday sale. That can become an email sequence as well, because it can be a series of emails and you can schedule them, write them out, schedule them to go. You don't actually have to be writing and hitting send as you go live. It's just those are the more, well, unfortunately, the consumption sequence is not that common, but the people that do use it are going to get the best results if you use it correctly. Case in point, I ordered solar panels and I got an email going with the solar generator, and I got an email going literally after UPS dropped it off about a half an hour later, you know, great, you got your panels, you got, you know, here's how to set it up, here's how to use it. I'm like, wow, okay, so UPS somehow connected and they now know that the order has been delivered. It is now sitting on my front porch and I'm about to open the box. You're going to walk me through. I was like, cool, right? But that's kind of where it dropped off, because when I went to open the email, all the email did was link me to the PDF on the website that was the same as the printed guide, the setup guide that was in the box.
Okay, so they're basically just giving you the same option in different media.
They started great, but then they fell flat. So instead of going, you know, here's a video and, you know, here's where you plug it in and talking you through and here's different ways that you could use it and how to set it up or, you know, how to maintain. So how do you keep your panels clean so that you get the most energy usage from, like, it's, you know, kind of thinking about helping you walk through. I mean, and
which are things you don't want to tackle right the second that you open the panel, right? But if they were to drip them out a couple of days or a couple of weeks, it's keeping you engaged and thinking about the company this whole time.
Exactly, right? So, and depending on how detailed you want to get. So if I order these in the summer, I might be thinking, you know, depending on what I'm ordering, maybe they're a little bit more portable. Maybe I can take them with me camping. So then I might have a dust issue I have to worry about. Maybe I, you know, then maybe there's something different for maintenance or storage that they would send me in the winter. But because they've tagged me by way of email, right? And again, like you mentioned, they should go back to kind of listen to the more kind of 101. This is a little bit intermediate. The way that your customer is tagged in your system can help determine all of that can be automated. You don't need to set a reminder for yourself to go, oh, they bought this in June, so in October, I'm going to set a reminder to send them an email. All of that can be automated. So it's all happening. You're enhancing the user experience, the customer experience. You're building the rapport and the relationship, and you're doing it once and then it's all on autopilot.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. Which every business owner wants that. So and I know you work with a lot of different small businesses across the country. So let's talk about maybe a specific problem that you helped a client overcome by using an email sequence.
Well, interestingly enough, something that you wouldn't expect this from would be in the music industry. Most people are like, well, email's dead. Well, it's not dead, you're just not using it correctly. I've actually had a customer just last week message me and say, I'm getting all of these unsolicited replies to my emails thanking me for sending them more emails. Right? I mean, if you're like, but I thought they would be mad at me for sending emails, right? Like, well,
if you send crappy emails, they would be, yeah.
Exactly. It's like, if all you're doing is emailing them when you want something from them, then yeah, people are going to get upset. You end up in spam, you get unsubscribed, and it's a bad user experience. But if you offer value, and whether you're emailing once a week or daily, you know, whether you're offering just consumption welcomes, so you can literally automate almost everything. There is someone, unfortunately, I can't think of who it is at the moment, but they have a 1-year automated email sequence. So
365
days. Yeah. So once you, let's say, join their email list, then everything is automated for a year.
That's interesting.
I mean, that's the extreme, right?
That's extreme.
But yeah. that's not also something that they just sat down and set up. It's something that developed over time, which, mm-hmm. you know, with small businesses, you want to start somewhere. So, you know, you want to capture the lead. And then here's the welcome sequence. You're kind of introducing, you're giving them what they asked for to start with, right? So if they ask, right, or if they, you know, even if you're walking into a brick and mortar and it's like, you know, give us your email, right? But a lot of companies are doing that now, or, you know, fill in your email and you could be entered for a gift card or something. That is a way of capturing the email. If you tell people, thank you for giving us your email. This is why you gave us the email. You're getting what you've asked for.
Yeah.
And then transition them into the welcome series. And then from there, it's just a matter of automating the message to build the relationship, right? You don't have to be at your desk every morning typing up an email to send out to the list. You can start there and then think of, well, you're going to have a Boxing Day sale. You're going to have to just think about writing those out and then scheduling them. And then you just start filling in the blocks in the calendar and then you string them together. So then it just becomes an automated process as opposed to literally having to, oh, look, yeah, I got, it's like Facebook, you get a notification, somebody commented, oh, I'm going to have to go reply, right? It's not, oh, there's a message in my inbox, I'm going to have to go reply. The idea is to automate it so that you can spend more time building the business and the customers are still engaged and being serviced, essentially.
So back to sort of a story of you working with a specific client, do you kind of have any, could you tell us more about maybe one story that you did to help somebody build it up?
Interestingly, so she did a live stream concert because, you know, they're still stuck in COVID lockdowns and they did like a Q&A kind of engagement. And somebody asked, well, you know, what do you name your guitar? Everybody names their guitar. They name their cars guitar. She goes, well, I've never done that. Right. And so then it becomes, oh, well, why don't we name the guitar? So she turned that into a contest. And so she's like, okay, so the fans get to decide. And then she started telling stories about the guitar and adventures about, and nowhere along this whole sequence was it, you know, go buy my music or, you know, buy some merch. Like it was just, let's all get together and start thinking up names and then let's vote on it. And then the people that voted and participated got a private concert. There were prizes for people that, you know, won and all of that kind of built in. So it was his own little campaign to name the guitar that had nothing to do with buy my stuff, but it organically grew. And now some of the stuff that she did, it becomes essentially evergreen. So she can repurpose that.
Right.
And when new people join the list. Yeah. I mean, like obviously you can't name the guitar again. Well, I guess you can. But some of that content now can get put into the automation. So then people that now come back in, they're kind of getting caught up on the history and the story and they're getting invited into the community essentially.
So some of the, name my guitar emails, if they're not ending with an offer to buy something, was there still an ask at the end of those emails? Like now go to this page and participate in the poll to name my guitar or now click reply and tell me what you should name my guitar. Like, was there still a call to action at the end of each of those emails?
There's always a call to action. You always want them to do something. So in some of the cases it was, you know, go to the Facebook post and, you know, enter your name or, you know, like a name that's already there. And then once they narrowed it down, it was okay. Here's the link to the survey. Here's the top three, pick which one you want. Perfect. Kind of thing. Right. So there's always, you always want, what do they do next? Right. What happens next? You don't just want to send the email with nothing. We don't want to ever have a social media post with nothing. You always want some sort of a call to action. And the call to action doesn't have to be it can be just share your comments, you know, tell me your thoughts. It's just, you just want to get some sort of engagement and reaction. Yeah.
I think people who've been listening to me long enough know I always say to sell in every message, but that's what I mean. You know, you might sell, so if you don't have any actual physical product for sale that week, You might sell someone on leaving a comment. You might sell somebody on clicking a link to read an article. You might sell them on the article itself, right? Like, as in, it's going to take more than 10 seconds to read the article. So I have to convince you that it's a good thing to. So when we hear our websites, let's say when we encourage people to like sell with every message, that's more what we mean. The way
it's what's the next step. I mean, if you're doing the welcome sequence, you're not necessarily saying, you know, here's something for you to buy on that first email or the first series of emails, but you want them to either respond to you or click on something, or at least prep them so they know that there's another email coming, and you want to put them in like you reference the psychology of it. You want them to know that that next email is coming, to expect it and to actually look forward to them wanting to open it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's thinking through what's the ultimate end goal, but what's that next little micro commitment? What's that next little next step?
Yep. And to come back to what you said before about, you know, you don't want to go to spam. You don't want people to ignore your emails and stuff. You know, anybody who's listening, what you can understand about the health of email platforms and email autoresponder software is that it's a good signal to that software when people are clicking the links in your email. It's a good signal when people are hitting reply and writing back to you. So all of these little like micro engagements have to do with list health, because if you think about it, obviously, if you're emailing back and forth with a friend, right, and one friend's never responding and one friend's replying, like if you just think of it in those terms of just having a correspondence with somebody, obviously the second one is a healthier thing. So with that topic in mind, actually, I was going to ask you, do you have a preferred email autoresponder platform? Do you work with a bunch of different ones? Maybe we can talk about the tools and technology behind these sequences a little bit.
A lot. I mean, there are ways that there's different tips and tricks, and, you know, like staying out of the promo tab, so to speak, right? Especially if you're dealing with or whatever it is that they might be calling it, if you're not using Gmail. Having the asking for the response when they're coming onto the list, giving people that hint, okay, expect this email, and even go as far as giving them the subject line of the email, you know, look for it in your promo tab or check your spam, right? And then help them what's known as whitelisting, right? So if you're using Gmail, you want to grab that email and literally drag and drop it over into your primary tab. And then Gmail is going to go, are you sure you want this in there? It's like, go, yep. So then that, again, that is signaling, this is not spam. This is something that I asked for. I want it to be in my inbox, not in my promo box. But a lot of that is important, especially now with iOS 15. So for those Apple users out there, they now have the option to not be tracked, whether it's Facebook, whether it's email. So a lot of companies are now going, well, it used to all be all about the open rate. Well, we got this, this is our open rate. Well, now that's hard to track because a lot of providers and a lot of platforms it's not real data, right?
Never has been.
The trick to that really is not necessarily to compare yourself to everybody else, is to compare what's happening internally, right? Yeah. So if you consistently have, let's say, a 25% open rate, according to whatever your platform is reporting, and all of a sudden you have a 5% open rate, you have to go back and look what happened there.
It's a trend indicator.
Exactly. Tracking what's happening internally is more important than trying to compare yourself to your neighbors.
Yeah, which for everything, actually, that's a good ethical guideline.
Yeah.
So coming back to the platforms, do you have a preferred platform that you like to use?
Honestly, it all depends on the business and the size of the business and how comfortable they are, right? Because they all essentially do the same thing to some extent. Some of them have a little bit more connectivity if you want to use different platforms to tie things in. Some of them are really very bare bones and baked. So some of them are better suited for something that would be on the e-commerce side. Some of them are better suited for those that aren't necessarily tech savvy, right? So there really is no best suite. A lot of it is going to depend on what you're using. And if it works for what you need it for, then there's really no point in moving. You actually don't necessarily want to be bouncing from platform to platform, because that also hurts your deliverability, because you have to build up what, you know, is known as a reputation, right? You know, it's like showing up and, you know, moving into a new neighborhood. Nobody knows who you are. They're all kind of looking at you sideways going, what's this guy going to do, right? Is this a good neighbor or a bad neighbor? So they're kind of a little bit more leery, which means you have to build up the respect, build up the within the platform. So if you're on something, whether it's MailChimp or ConvertKit or ActiveCampaign or Keep or Klaviyo, I mean, MailerLite, there's way too many to list. It doesn't really matter which one. It, from a user perspective, what resonates best with you and what is it that you need it to do, right? Because a lot of it really comes down to the back end is the same, but it's the user interface.
So I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but and I totally agree with what you said, right? It doesn't really matter what, there's no one great, perfect autoresponder technology. Let's try to give the folks who are listening at home a little bit of a strategy if they haven't ever done this before, right? Maybe let's pick one of the more affordable or even free options and some of the, and maybe a very simple one to get started with a short email sequence. What would you recommend in terms of a platform?
From the free aspect, I think MailChimp still has a free level. I think MailerLite also has a free level. And then there really, you know, like the important thing is to start with the welcome sequence in terms of an automation. But some of these platforms will also let you do landing pages. So if you're offering a free book or an ebook or a guide or some sort of resource to, you know, in exchange for their email, some of these platforms will allow you to build that in the ESP, which is the email service provider. Some of them you have to be external and then it'll allow you to connect in. So it honestly does come down to what is it that you want to use it for and how comfortable are you using the technical stuff, or do you have somebody else, you know, like, you know, one of your kids or something is like, you know, it's like, just get them to do it. They'll just push a few buttons and then it just magically happens, right? A lot of it really does depend on that. If you're going to be more e-commerce based versus brick and mortar or versus info products, right? So you don't actually have a physical product. It all really is going to depend on what your starting point is in terms of what you're offering. But the email sequence, the welcome is, everybody should have more than just, great, here's your thing that you ordered. Some people don't actually even have that. And some people have a welcome email that doesn't really explain anything. So you want to reassure people that they're in the right place. This is what they can expect from you, right? Like this is what you're going to get. I mean, this is what you've signed up for kind of thing, quite literally and figuratively, right? You want to give them that heads up. You want to build that nurturing experience. And where a lot of people sometimes get, well, what if they don't want to hear from me? And, you know, I get emails saying, well, you should do this and you should do that. There's actually a couple of guys that I follow that are kind of like mentors of mine in this space. And they always remind me, it's like, your email newsletter is like somebody walking into your house, right? If somebody comes into your house, Sean, and says, I don't know about that wallpaper, you should change it, right? And, you know, when's the last time you're going to be like, well, it's my wallpaper. I live here. You can leave. And I know that seems harsh, but ultimately you're going to people that don't really care about your wallpaper, but care about you, you know, then, so to speak, are going to stick around, and you're not going to please everybody, but you have to structure the emails, the newsletters, the sequence, whether it's one-offs, whether you're automating, that has to be representative of you and your business and what you're offering. And you're not going to take your business and constantly cater and shift and adjust because one person doesn't seem to agree with you, just like you wouldn't do that on a personal level, right? So
it's not useful feedback. It's not useful feedback that one person doesn't like your email. It's got to be water off a duck's back. It can't be, I'm going to change my whole email list setup and sequence because one person doesn't like it, right?
Exactly. Now, if they come to you and go, you know, like with, you know, the example that I gave before, like, you know, like my client's fans literally just said, thank you for emailing us more. Thank you for including us. Thank you for sharing your experience and your journey. Thank you for, you know, kind of giving us the sneak peek into your world kind of thing. But they're thanking her not because she's trying to sell them more often. It's because it's the experience that they're getting now. You know, in this case, she's a country artist. So if all of a sudden she started playing EDM music or jazz or something, they might be going, well, wait a minute. Right. What's going on? Right. Yeah. And in that case, then, you know, if these people went from country enthusiasts to EDM enthusiasts, then they might stick around. Right. But again, it's her house. It's her list. It's her business. Mm-hmm. And if she wants to redecorate or renovate or put an addition or tear down and start over, that's up to her. Right.
To a certain degree, also, I find, and you probably find the same thing, that a large chunk of the audience is desiring to be a part of that story, to hear about it. I mean, people like to follow the narrative of what we're doing. But yeah, so that the big takeaway there, of course, is like you said, you know, you could pick one of many free options. You mentioned MailChimp. So people could get started with MailChimp.
Right.
They have one free automation, which means you can set up many automations for these different milestones, but on the free plan, they allow you to just send one email. So what EG was saying that you guys could take away from this is at least go set up a welcome email. In that welcome email, you tell them exactly what you said, EG, you tell them what to expect from the future emails. And I mean, that seems like very basic common sense stuff, but lots of people just, when they say I started an email list, what they mean is they took a bunch of email addresses they had from their CRM and they dumped them into an autoresponder platform. But no one knows they did it. They didn't even announce they did it, right? Or when you join their email list, like you said, you're at the brick and mortar location, fill in we have a little piece of paper by the door. You want to be on our email list? Here, put your name there. Well, so then they get the name, they harvest the names, they've done everything right up until that point. And then same deal, they just dump them on a list. That person doesn't even, when that person gets home from the store, they don't even have a welcome email saying, hey, thanks for signing up, telling them, right? Because that might be a different sequence than signing up online. If you sign up at the store, you get the email that says, thanks for signing up in the store, as opposed to thanks for getting our lead magnet.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for coming in, right? And anyway, if they, and again, it's going to depend on how comfortable you might be with the technology, or if you have somebody that might be comfortable, how you have things integrated. Some CRMs have everything built in. You might be able to go, thanks for coming into the store today and purchasing XYZ. Yeah. And, you know, from there, it's in all and how the data is captured, it could be, you know, come back in for 10% off, or if they're buying something that literally needs instructions and it's not clothing or something that's consumable in some way, it could be, you know, keep an eye out in your inbox for instructions or tips and tricks. And, you know, I mean, how do you check your tires? You know, how do you know when you need to get new tires? Or how do you keep your wiper blades? You know, how do you maintain them so you're not having to get those nasty streaks? Or it's so automotive. When's the last time anybody ever got an email, a follow-up email from somebody that did an oil change, other than you might get the thank you, or might get, oh, by the way, it's time for a new oil change, right?
Yeah.
Come and book your appointment. But what about the in-between stuff, right? You know, like how do I maintain my car so that I'm not just coming and giving you hundreds of dollars and spending half a day there waiting for the honor to give you hundreds of dollars, right?
which is why people in our industry will use that term nurturing, right? Between sales events, it's not a good idea for someone to not hear from you. And it's also very interesting what you just said. So I know for you and I, this is our profession. So we're looking for things to do and to write. But for a lot of clients, all they're hearing is work, 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 work. Oh, I have to write how the wipers work. Oh, I have to answer this question. Well, the fact is, everything you just said, they're already being asked on a daily basis in shop. They're already probably training their frontline staff to answer those questions. There may even be an FAQ document that already exists, if not internally, on their website. That's all, believe it or not, everybody, that's all content for emails. Now, you can't just be boring about it, but you could take your FAQ, you could take your training manual, and you could break them up into, you could give them to somebody like EG and say, here, write a 5 email sequence from this FAQ document, right?
Exactly. And the thing there is, you're thinking, yeah, okay, I've got to do all this work, got to write all these emails, but keep in mind that this is essentially evergreen content. It's, you're writing it once, and it's helping you minimize the calls that you have to take. It's helping you minimize the complaints. It's helping you minimize the return. So you're putting in that time now,
yeah.
So then you can kind of sit back and let it help you along pretty much until you decide to, you know, discontinue the product or shut down the business.
Close
or,
the shop.
Yeah, you know, whatever it might be, right? It's in the background. It's always running. It's always working for you after just doing that initial effort. It's paying you back forever.
I would say it's an asset of the business that you could put a value on if you wanted to sell the business, right? Somebody with no email list and no marketing and no campaigns versus the exact same business with all those things, the second business is worth more. It's got a lead generation machine built into it.
Yes, and it has a customer service, right?
Yeah.
It has somebody there answering questions proactively, right? It has somebody there, and the somebody being whatever email provider you have and whatever automation sequence you have built in, right? So there's it's acting in the background. It's those nice little, you know, like behind, it's literally the Wizard of Oz, right? You just see the big all powerful Oz, but really there's a dude behind the curtain pulling all the strings, right? So the email is essentially the dude behind the curtain pulling all the strings. And you know, if you know your audience well enough, if you know your customer well enough, and you start hearing, like you said, people are calling in asking questions, there's an FAQ, your customer service reps or your, you know, if you have a retail location, the sales associates in the store, you can ask them, right? Like pool their information. What's the most common thing? Let's try to be proactive and address this. If we can put it in an email sequence and automate it, that's going to reduce that. Even if it's a 3-minute call, but you're having that 3-minute call 2-3 times a day, you've saved yourself now an hour a week. What does that cost you if you look at it over the course of a year?
Right. 100%. Yeah.
Right. And that's just for one thing, right? So yeah, there's the initial investment up front, but think about the time and the effort and the resources that it's going to save you long term, which is why, you know, kind of going back to those guys that have a year-long sequence, you know, that's great. You know, like just set it and it's just going to run off on its own for a year. But again, if you think about it strategically, something happens. It's kind of like with social media, right? Like, you know, like there's stuff that's happening in terms of politics and in terms of weather and in terms of what have you. You can always just go in and go pause, right? Just pause.
Yeah.
You know, like but then you can go start. That's it. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can pause it if something, you know, looks off. You can pull it little bits out. Okay, so maybe this Black Friday thing isn't working because I think Costco has Christmas stuff now.
Yeah.
Right. I mean think about, you know, Christmas in July. Well, I mean, if you know, at the time of this recording, it's July and the ski hills opened in Banff in July.
Right? Yeah, that wasn't probably part of their autoresponder sequence. They probably had to do a unique email.
Exactly.
For that.
But yeah. There, if they've got something that's automated, you can just kind of put pause, insert something special that's happened.
Yeah.
And then continue. You don't literally have to stop and, like, you know, you kind of, you know, turn off the assembly line, right?
Yeah.
And then let, you know, do the repairs, put it, insert whatever needs to get in, and then start it up again, and then off it goes. So that's not to say that it's a year long of we're not touching anything for a year, but they can if they want to. And if something comes up where you want to kind of insert something, you can. You don't have to. It's just extra stuff that you can build on. It's just more information, more content, more enhancing the user experience, building the relationship, offering value, and then creating essentially lifelong customers.
And it's a great point that it's not an either or thing that we're discussing. Email sequence is another tool in your arsenal to bring to just a regular sort of, whatever you want to call it, sending a one-off email, doing an email broadcast, whatever terminology people want to use. We're not saying pick one or the other. You can definitely do both. I know at websites.ca, one of our most successful automations, and to your point about saving time for everybody, time and energy for everybody, is anytime someone becomes a new customer and gets their website launched, obviously there's a lot of manual hands-on face-to-face, well, you know, over the phone, one-to-one work during that period of time. So the client and websites.ca constantly talking to each other. As soon as you launch their website, 10 years ago, we would get psychologically lazy and go, okay, cool, our work's done. We launched their website. And then you finally realize, well, that customer may kind of forget about you over time or not respect you as much over time or whatever. And so our owner John set up an automation for referrals, right? Something like a couple X amount of months after the website launches, they get an email from their rep. Now the rep is not sending that, right? Ryan doesn't have to go in every morning and check that. So that's saving him tons of time. He doesn't have to think about it. The email goes out and says, are you happy? Yes or no? If they choose yes, there's a couple more automated messages leading to, hey, why don't you leave us a review? And which people are very happy to do because they said they were satisfied. So more reviews, all automated, saves Ryan that time. But then the people who choose no, of course, then it flags it to Ryan so he can manually follow up with them. I mean, we would have practically had to have a second Ryan to do all that manually that the autoresponder sequence does for him.
Yeah. And honestly, I would say from my standpoint, I would say, don't wait a couple of months. For referrals, a lot of people are like, while you're still in the thick of it, while you still have, you're engaged and whether you're enjoying the experience or not, like it's all fresh in your mind and you've got the momentum and it's all happening now. All right. So what's working, what isn't, and if it's working, great, and tell your friends, and if it's not working, tell us and let's see if we can fix it. And even from Ryan's standpoint, I'm sure that he's tracking that, he's collecting that information, and if he sees a trend, then it's not just a one-off addressing it with that customer, but there's a trend there that now, whether it's good or bad, it can get incorporated into the business as a whole, right? So now you've automated that sequence and the business process because you automated the email.
Yep.
Right.
And that's very good to point out too, is that one of the best times to ask for a referral is as soon as the sale's made. And to come back to your earlier point, I was thinking that with the clothes shop, right? You said, oh, there's somebody goes and buys a pair of clothes and then they sign up manually to the list there. The welcome to our list email you send them could be something like, nowadays, anyway, when everyone uses social media, why don't you tweet a picture or why don't you post a picture of the clothes you bought and tag one friend you think would be interested? Now, that's getting someone in engagement online, but folks have to remember, really, that's just a clever way of getting a referral. So we're not talking in like a goofy woo-woo new metrics that don't make you any money. Actually, all this stuff is advancing your business goals forward.
Right. I'm going to take that one step further if I can piggyback off of your idea. So sure. You ask them to tag a friend and they're obviously tagging you as well, right? Yeah. And then you get whoever's, monitoring your social media to send that person an instant message and say, thanks for tagging us. I'd like to send you a coupon or a discount and then what email can I send it to? Yeah. What's your best email so I can send you that coupon, that code, that, special thank you for supporting us kind of thing. So now that's another way to get people onto the list because they may not be on the list and they may have seen some promotion on social media. They may have seen an ad. They may have seen a organic post. They may have seen a flyer in the store, right? Mm-hmm. It's just another way to capture that information. And again, you've captured when you get that email, you want to capture that they shared and they tagged. So then you know that these people are engaged and they're supporting you, right? So then that's all information that you pool, you collect, and then you potentially can send something special to them as a whole. Again, automate it later on, right? So keep using Black Friday. So you've been such a great supporter on, you know, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, you can, it depends on how granular you want to get, you know, because you've been active in the community, because you've been, you know, helping share our stuff. You've been, you know, here's an extra special just for you, something, you know, it could be a discount. It could be a, you know, if you're a brick and mortar, you know, if you're a service, it's, you know, let's hop on a 30-minute call and I'll help consult or something, right? If it's not a physical product that they can get, or they can even get a discount on the service, right? You know, but capturing that information and using social media to get them onto the list, right? Using the website, using the something happening in the store to still get them on the list is, and then automating that. So then that just becomes its own little machine and customer service and complaint department and right, referral department and everything else.
And you're encouraging people to be the opposite of lazy. So when you're saying autoresponders, right, and you can set it and forget it and so on, but then you're blending in this manual response thing too. It's making all the work, like all the things you said there that might've been manual are all that much more effective because they're targeted to certain persons. You're not blanket spraying it out at everybody else. You know, the folks are putting up their hands through the automations. And now you can have staff manually responding. And like you said, to come back to that word you used before, that the audience might not be super familiar with tagging. You know, you can essentially tag people with anything. So if you say, you know, yeah, responded online, whatever, on the social media platform, Facebook, Black Friday, blah, 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 right? And now you have that little signpost for yourself in the future to set up other automations. Or now you know that, hey, I tag this person as someone who refers, right? And then you can sort your list from, you know, people who've never referred to people who refer all the time. And I think what you could tell me if I'm wrong, but in my experience, it's like that old saying about like to those who have much, much will be given, and to those who have little, it'll all be taken away. It may be not worth the marketer's time focusing on the people who've never referred. There's something about people who have referred, they're going to refer again. And the people who haven't referred, maybe you could set up a sequence of them, but wouldn't you agree it's more fruitful to approach the people who have referred in the past?
Yeah, and you're targeting the people, again, like you said, that they're putting their hand up, but because your segment, it may seem like a smaller group, but you know, on that aspect, if you take people that, you know, they're referring and they're sharing, if you have an affiliate or a partner program, right, if you have a referral program in place, then those are the people that you send that message to. You don't send that message to, here's how you can join our referral program, if they literally just walked into your store yesterday and just I don't know who you are, I'm new here, and now you're telling me to refer. I'm like, well, I don't know who you are, why would I do that, right? But that these people that you've now identified that are engaged, they're active, they're getting people involved, then that's what you want. And from an email perspective, if you put a nice little blurb at the bottom that says, you know, subtly hinting, you know, if you happen to get this, somebody forwarded you this email and you want to be on the list, then click here. So you're kind of telling people it's okay to share, to forward, to encourage people to come on the list. But then your email service provider may also be able to track this email got forwarded. And then now that's another way of sharing. So they may not be tagging you on social media, but they're forwarding all your emails. So this person now is trying to get your message out there and they're trying to help you get right. So that's another way to identify them, as these people are active, they're engaged. They've gone from the traditional is the know, like, and trust, right? John Jantz, the guy that did duct tape marketing, has this he calls it an hourglass approach, right? It's hourglass marketing. So it's, you have the, you know, starting off like the fun, like the traditional funnel, it's the know, like, trust, and as you work through, but then if the funnel inverts into an hourglass, and then that narrow part, you have the try and the buy.
Okay.
And then it's repeat and refer.
Ah, so that's what spreads back out again.
Yeah. Right. So that's what spreads back out. Right. So, yeah. Or, you know, if you're a child of the 80s, like I am, it's the old Head and Shoulders commercial, right? You know, they liked it too much. Well, they told two friends and they told two friends and so on and so on. And you have all these little, you know, heads that keep popping up on the screen. Right. So it's carrying them through. The people that are repeat buyers and referring on to other people are going to be at a different level than the new person that has never experienced, right? And is just new to your world and your business, right? So it's, again, like you said, it's segmenting, and you may have a list, let's say, of 1,000 people, and now you're only talking to 100, but those people are getting the message that's important to them, right? You know, you're not going to send a coupon for diapers to a senior citizen's home, right? I mean, unless they sell adult diapers, yeah. You know? So there has to be the connection there. And if somebody that is an advocate and is referring your business, and you've got the email sequence that is kind of fostering that, you're going to get a better open rate. You're going to get a better engagement rate. That's going to play to your deliverability. That's going to play to your list health. That's going to play to just the overall experience that your customers are getting from your business, right? So the message resonates, and they see your name or your company's name in their inbox. They're going to be more interested in clicking and opening and to see what you're telling them today.
Yeah, no, 100%. And so that can add to our list that we were making at the start of the call. So we have welcome sequences. People can start thinking about that. They can start thinking about how they're going to respond, even if it's just one automated message, but maybe it's more when someone becomes a buyer. And then also looking for those referral opportunities, which, you know, which a sequence is clearly what we're talking about is great for. Right. So I guess to wrap it up, then I would say, let's say you have to sit down and you have to write the quote unquote perfect nurturing sequence here. What kind of info, what are you gathering from the client in order to sit down and construct this sequence? What kind of questions do you need answered? Are you looking for, like I said before, FAQ documents, testimonials? What's sort of the inputs that go into creating this marketing asset?
So for the nurturing sequence or for the welcome sequence?
You can pick either or.
Okay, because I think you said nurturing.
Yeah.
So if you're nurturing, so what's the last thing you bought?
The last thing I bought, wine. Yeah.
Wine, okay. So you went to the wine store, right? Or maybe you ordered online because Costco lets you do that now through Instacart, right? So you bought wine. So did you get any information from the liquor store to say, you know, thanks for coming in? Did they ask you for an email? Thanks for coming in. You know, like, you're a wine connoisseur, right? I can tell you about different wines. I can tell you about wine promotions. I can tell you about wine tastings. I can give you information about, again, it depends on how detailed you want to get, how far into the weeds you want to go. Your liquor store might have information about that specific winery, right? Like, get familiar with the winery, so to speak, or get familiar with that brand. There are high-end liquor stores, right? That, and they don't do a welcome sequence. And even if it's a, we'll let you know when stuff is on sale, we'll let you, like, if you bought a high-end bottle of wine, like if you spent $10 versus $50 on wine, there's a difference.
It's a different, yeah, that's right.
It's a different audience, right? So you're not going to try to sell the Lamborghini to the guy that just bought the Chevy, the used Chevy, right? You know, it's a different message. So you have to know who you're trying to communicate with and where they're at, right? So are they, so they're obviously new to your business, but they may not be new in the product that you sell.
Yeah. So let's pick apart some of the things you said, because you mentioned like the lazy person's thing when they're writing emails is always to jump to sales. And you mentioned that, right? Oh, well, they could get back to that person when there's a discount. Okay, so let's put that aside, because for our listeners, you have to realize that's what everyone's doing. So if you want to stand apart, maybe let's not, you know, you can still send emails about sales, but put that aside for a sec. So you mentioned two much more interesting things to write emails about. One was educational. Right. Yeah. So if I bought wine from, let's say, Spain or Italy, what region? Okay. Now the wine store can send me educational info. You also said events, right? There might be an in-store tasting, a rep from a winery might be there, whatever. So you could send emails on that. So if someone were hiring you, it would behoove them to sit down and think about, how can I arm my marketer? What can I give EG so she can write the best autoresponder sequence for me? They might give you, here's a list of our next 6 months to a year of events, right? You're not going to write all of the emails about events right away, but it would be good to get them from the business, right? And then the next one would be like, what's your educational material? Do you guys have existing video? Do you have a YouTube channel? Do you have videos? You know, just sticking with the wine example, if everyone could forgive me, you know, what producers do you rep? What regions are they from? You could go into history. You don't even have to go into current event type stuff. And then, of course, there's the current event type stuff, like you said, right?
Well, you can even do from the educational standpoint, you know, like if you want to learn to become a connoisseur, if you're buying the lower end or maybe a mid range, you know, like, what does it mean for wine to breathe? Right. You know, what level should it be chilled or not chilled at, you know, for it to be right? Do you swirl? Do you swish? Right. Like,
how to use it. Yeah. Like your example with the solar panels.
Yeah. Focus on the consumption, and it may not be that specific, you know, again, like we probably shouldn't be picking on wine, but not necessarily that specific thing, but it's, you know, here's how to consume it. Here's to get the most out of what you just bought.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 100%.
And the more that you then go down that educational vein, as opposed to, you know, oh, here's just a quick sale, but they're now interested in seeing what you have to say. And if you then have something else to offer them, they're going to be more willing to come in or, you know, to buy something else. And also, if they're doing something like a wine tasting or something, and I don't see this enough, honestly, from vineyards. So if there's any vineyards out there, if you do the wine tasting, it's building up to the event. So what can they expect from it? How can they get the most out of it? And then get some sort of a check-in. So then, you know, did the people register and show up? They're going to get the thank you for coming. Right. Yeah. I hope you, like you said, you know, what did you like? What did you not like? So then we can make the experience better. And if they didn't come, then find out why they didn't come. Right. You know, maybe they forgot. Oh, if they forgot, then that falls on you, that you should have done a better job of reminding them and putting them in a frame of mind that this is a must, you know, don't miss event. Kind of a thing, right?
It's blood from a stone, what you're saying. I actually live around most of the big vineyard area in Canada, and I've worked with and know lots of people in the industry. And yeah, the Canadian vineyards run some of the worst email marketing in the history of mankind. And
that's also why you pick wine, right? You're kind of subliminally sending a message out to those vineyards that are in your area going,
you know, it's funny. So it is the last thing I bought, and it's interesting what you said. I had run one of my side businesses was running a wine startup online, and it wasn't to do with vineyards. It was like existing international producers and stuff. But to your point, I can corroborate everything that you said exactly to our listeners, is that if we would have just done what everybody else did. Now, keep in mind, we were new, right? And we had to differentiate ourselves too. But if everybody else is just sending emails that say X bottle is on sale, or they're saying, hey, this wine producer is now in stock. That's essentially, in a nutshell, that's 99% of all emails that come from the wine trade. If we would have just done that, our sales would have been brutal and no one would have cared about us, and people would have just deleted, you know, because we didn't have a big storefront, we didn't have a big name. Instead, it was telling stories. We had a figurehead who is well known in the industry, and she would travel around and she would meet with winemakers. So half of the emails were just her stories about that. when we eventually had promotions and stuff to sell, we got a lot more uptake because the trust was there, the comfort was there. Like you said, people are, you know, if we missed a day of emailing, people are bugging us. Hey, where's the story for the week? What's going on? Well, like, that's how you know you're doing it right. If we would have just sent last chance, 50% off, like everyone does that.
Exactly. And then, you know, even to kind of, you know, let's take it further. I mean, I'm not a wine connoisseur, so that I nailed it just goes to show that it isn't necessarily specific to the niche or the industry. There are fundamentals that involve that do apply to regardless of what your business is and whether it's online or in person or traveling roadshow, right? The fundamentals are the fundamentals. It's just really an understanding how to apply it to your business based on who you're trying to communicate with and where they, how much knowledge they have about either you as a business or the product or service that you're trying to offer, right? But going down the wine vein, the last time I was in a liquor store, they had things like toppers, the wine bottle toppers, and they had accessories. They had gadgets and gadgets that go along with more than just the alcohol. So that is another avenue that's something else. You know, if somebody's buying wine, you know, you can kind of subtly encourage them not to drink it all at the same time, you know, by going, get this or get this glassware or get those little ringlet things to identify if you're having a party whose glass belongs to who kind of thing, right? You know, like there's all these extra adjacent things in addition to the wine that there is kind of a cross sell in terms of marketing terminology, but now you're educating them. Oh, I don't have to drink at all, or it's not, or it will go bad if the air goes in, or, you know, I don't want the wine to turn into vinegar or.
That's exactly it. Yeah. And like you said, you're entertaining and educating them about aerating and breathing wine and how to serve it. And if the final sentence of the email happens to say, oh, and by the way, if you want it, you know, if you want a tool that helps with that, here's a link to it. And so like the sale part of it that everyone's so scared of doing doesn't have to be obnoxious and boring and off-putting. You can be very entertaining and tell the story exactly like you described it and still sell at the end of it.
Right. And you know, they may, you know, there are red wine glasses, there are white wine glasses. Yeah. You're not necessarily selling them wine glasses, but why is there I honestly don't know. Why is there a red glass and why is that different from the white glass? And what's the optimal amount to put? So what is a serving of wine and why can I not just fill it to the rim? And what do you mean I can't put ice cubes in my wine? Right. Yeah. You know, like there's all these little things that you can spin it to make it entertaining as opposed to just going, well, the acidity level and the, I don't know. I'm honestly making stuff up. I should be more of a wine connoisseur considering my dad used to make homemade wine when he was alive, but I have no idea. So
You're saying all the right things. So that's your instincts as a marketer of what, not only what questions to ask, but how to zero in on, like how to burrow down on topics is pretty cool to see on the fly, especially if you don't know much about it. Cause all of those are questions people ask and that's stuff that people talk about in the niche. So I think that's a good, you know, that's like a good point to end on is, let's be very frank and honest. A lot of people, when we're talking about autoresponders, it may be a bridge too far for them to feel like they can tackle it themselves. And that's why one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on today, not just to explain it and get people used to the concept, but if someone has sort of muddled in the email marketing world to take it to the next step, because some of their best competitors are certainly doing it. It would be a good idea for them to maybe consider hiring somebody like yourself to help set up some of these sequences. So how would somebody go about doing that?
Well, before I tell you that, I would say if you go, well, nobody's doing that in my industry, then you know what, then that's the best time to do it because now you're standing out. You're differentiating yourself from the competition and you're doing more than just throwing your hand up in the air going, buy my stuff. Here's a, you know, sale flyer in the news, in the mailbox or something, or in your inbox, right? Like you're separating yourself from the crowd. So the fact that somebody might not be doing it, whether it's your neighborhood geographically, whether it's your industry, whatever it is, then that is the bat signal for you to go start doing a list, right? I think you're going to put contact information in the show notes. So yeah, so they can just hop on and, you know, get the link in the show notes. And I'm actually happy to, you know, no obligation, no pitch. I'll get on a call. I'll help brainstorm and think through questions like I just did with Sean on an industry that I know nothing about, right? To just kind of get you started and point you in the right direction.
Beautiful. Thanks again for coming back and all the time you spent with us to explain everything. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
If you're not satisfied with your current website or the service you get from your provider, you can switch to websites.ca for free and get a great support team behind you. Just visit business.websites.ca. That's business.websites.ca, or email Ryan directly at ryan@websites.ca.
Thanks for listening, guys. Catch you next time.